around the San Francisco Bay Area. It's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Here's Joey.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey. This is Joey, and we have an exciting show for you this evening. Joining us will be none other than Tana Frederick, a Hollywood, LA-based actress that will talk to us today about her career and future projects that she is working on. Exciting stuff. Before we do that, we're going to have some hot topics that we're going to cover. Some interesting and newsworthy items that deserve or perhaps do not deserve our attention. You decide. And before we go ahead and do that, I just want to send a shout-out to my friends and boys over at Starbucks in Menlo Park, California, on the Alameda. Shout-out to Eric, Marco, Obi, Jose. Also Anita, Tyler, and Ray. This place is one of my favorite spots, especially in preparation for the show, due to their friendliness. And, you know, their staff just is just great with all their customers. So let's send them out lots of love. And then, Jammin, are you there with us tonight?
Absolutely. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing just great. I'm really excited about the show. And, you know, we're going to, before we bring on Tana Fredericks, what we're going to do is we're going to do some hot topics. I'm going to tell you how we're going to do it. We're going to do it a little bit different tonight because I don't want Tana to wait a long time for us. So I'm just going to cover about three of them. You and I will talk about them a little bit. And then we'll bring Tana, and then I'm just going to, you know, talk to her and interview her and find out what's happening with her in her career and a little bit about where she's been and where she's going. Once we're done interviewing, we'll go over three more hot topics you and I will discuss, and then we'll close the show. How does that sound?
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Yeah, so let's do it. So it's time for us just to crank it up.
We're just going to crank it up, crank it up.
Okay, so we're going to talk some hot topics. Okay, these are things that I think are just, they're on my mind, and I kind of want to run it by you, see if you've heard anything about this. You know, I think, I don't know, the last time I talked to you, we were talking about, it was kind of this school back east, I think you remember, where the girls, 14-year-old girls were forced to ask classmates for a lesbian kiss. Remember that? I talked to you a little bit about that. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, I definitely remember that.
You know, so it's still running kind of like a hot topic. You know, the really interesting thing here, it's not the fact that they're lesbians. It's not the fact, heterosexual, homosexual, who really gives a rip? The point is that the parents were not even given a heads up, hey, we're going to do this. This is a workshop, and we're going to do it. And so it made a lot of girls feel uncomfortable. And you remember me talking to you about this not that long ago, and this actually, first came out on the news probably about a week and a half ago. But now, you know, I made a point to tell you, I hope we don't have to hear these horrific stories about 13 or 14-year-old girls again. But guess what, Jim?
It came up again.
This is a new one. I don't know if you heard about this, but this was basically, I just read this looking through DenverPost.com, and this was posted April 30th. Mom forced 14-year-old girl to get pregnant so she could have another child. And this was actually, this wasn't here in the United States, but this was in London. And the woman was desperate for another child, so she forced her 14-year-old daughter to get pregnant using syringes of donor sperm, a British judge said. So it's just unbelievable, the selfishness of this parent. And so anyway, when I heard this, I'm like, man, what the heck is wrong with our society now? You know, it's just, it seems like, and especially a young girl like that, forced against her will, and it's just so sad. So, again, another story involving 13, 14-year-old girls. So, you know, again, kind of sad. Isn't that unreal?
That is just insane.
It really is insane. And so another thing that I found kind of insane, Let's see. What do you think? Here's a name that you hear quite often as of recent in the news, Justin Bieber. Anytime you hear that name, what do you think of now?
How fast I can get to the remote control to change the channel.
Exactly. But he seems to be in the news all the time. Either he's spitting at his neighbor down somewhere in Southern California. I think it's in some kind of, it's down in a desert type of area in Southern California. Or you hear him doing something with a monkey, an illegal monkey, as a pet or what have you, or pulling down his pants in London, England. Or now, this just came out. He visited the Anne Frank house, and he left this outrageous note in the guest book. Now, that was great that he went and visited, but the note that he left in there was kind of a little bit, it was just kind of a little bit obnoxious. You know, basically, in a nutshell, what he did was after he went and he spent about, I guess, an hour of his time there, he did respect her in the fact that he did say that, that she was... he said, quote, truly inspiring to be able to come here. This is where he's talking about this museum, the Anne Frank Museum. Okay. Anne was a great girl. Hopefully, she would have been a believer. A believer. Not a believer. A believer. And, I read that and I was like, dude? It's not about you. It's not about marketing yourself. It's about why you were there. And I guess in this news story, there are so many people that are so just hot about it. So isn't that unbelievable? For promotion, right?
I guess. But, where do you draw the line and how much is enough? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. So, well, you know what, Jammin? I think it's time that we bring Tana out. So I guess we'll talk to you. We're going to talk to you a bit later, and I think we've got these mics muted. So thanks again for joining me. And so, folks, we're really excited to have with us tonight Tana Frederick, who is a stage and independent film actress who rose to prominence for her title role in Henry Jaglom's Hollywood Dreams, and she's received the Best Actress Award at the 2008 Fargo Film Festival. Early on, she received irregular assignments as an extra on Days of Our Lives and as an actress in several stage productions, including N. Richard Nash's Echoes and Ben Guillory, I guess is how you say it, and the production of Toussaint for the Love of Freedom. And then as of March 2008, Tana also began work on a third film with Jaglom, The Queen of the Lot, a sequel to Hollywood Dream. Frederick continues in her roles as Margie Chizek, who in the new film has now become a prominent action film star with problems, one of which is a relationship with a sleazy tell-all Hollywood reporter, played by Noah Wiley. In October 2012, Jaglom's film version of Just 45 Minutes from Broadway opened, with Frederick recreating her role of Pandora Isaacs. And Frederick has some more films debuting this year, and she'll tell us about it. So, Tana, are you there?
I am here.
Awesome. Welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
We're just pleased to have you. Now, you reside in Southern California, is that right?
Yes. Yes, I'm in Santa Monica.
Santa Monica. I love Santa Monica. So how's the weather faring there right now?
It's good. I'm kind of, I was born and raised in Iowa, and I'm kind of hoping that we get a rain, because every day here is like Brady Bunch land. It's just perfect, perfect weather, and it's never cold. There's never a cloud in the sky, and so when it rains, I love to just stay in and read a book and order pizza, and it just only happens like twice a year, and I'm used to, the big, wonderful snowstorms that we used to have and blizzards that we used to have in Iowa. So I'm kind of seeing some misty clouds on the horizon and hoping that we'll get a little bit of rain.
Ah, there you go. Well, I'll tell you, we're here in the San Francisco Bay Area, and the last few days we've been in the 90s.
Oh my gosh, we have not even had that.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I mean, yesterday and today is totally like summer. And in fact, a little while ago, I was in the backyard and I kept smelling this burning, you know. And then I saw these cloud formations and I'm like, great, the house is on fire. Something else is happening. And it was the neighbor who's barbecuing. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's about summertime now, you know, because everybody gets their barbecues going and fired up and they're ready to go. So anyway, interesting, but it does feel like summer here. So
it's getting there. It is totally getting there, which is exciting.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm excited that you're here, and I really there's a few things I want to know. So and I think a lot of the listeners would probably love to know as well. So I know you grew up in the Midwest. So what really pushed you into acting?
For me, it really wasn't a question as to what I would do with my future starting at the age of six or seven. I started playing really competitive classical piano early on. And I was actually a wonderful place for the arts and for music. My hometown was originally the Meredith Willson birthplace and home of the Music Man, and the sort of for those musical theater lovers, Music Man was based on my town, Mason City, which was referred to in the film as River City. But we have a great support system of for community theater, for children's theater, for choir, for everything. And so I went with my Girl Scout troop to see the production of Oliver, and I remember sitting in the aisles and because it was packed, and watching the show, and then all of a sudden the Artful Dodger came on, and I just knew that at that point then and there that the rest of my life would be acting and going for that and getting as many experiences acting as I possibly could get. And so it was never really a question, you know, of what do I do, which I'm really thankful for that, because I know there are a lot of people who vacillate about what profession they're going to go into. And for me, it was just like do or die.
Well, and again, you were how old?
I was like seven or something.
Wow, that's
like
awesome.
That.
So you knew right then that this is where I am going to go, and this is what I want to be passionate about, and this is where I feel my life is going to lead me to. I will go into acting. I will become an actor. You knew that at that early of an age, right?
Yeah, and I think a lot of personally, I think a lot of kids do know that. It's just a matter of, how open their parents are, what kind of feedback they receive from their parents. My parents were exceptionally cool, even though they, kind of grew up in rigid families, but they were really cool about pursuing my dreams. And without their support, you know, they would have supported me if I wanted to be a garbage woman, and which was fine, which would be fine too. You know, it's just like, what do you love and what are you passionate about? Well, go for it. And so I was really lucky in that respect.
Right. And, you know, that's really important. I did myself as well. I don't know if you know, but I'm a singer and a songwriter, and I also act. And I think it started for me at a really, really young age, whether it was in church choirs, whether it was acting in Fiddler on the Roof, whether it was in music, whatever, as a child, I knew then that this is what I wanted to do. But again, my parents were not really involved in that industry. So, you know, it wasn't really a big push. And interestingly enough, if I studied, I usually try to study or get to know as much as I can about the person that I'm going to interview. I understand that your folks were in the medical industry. Is that right?
Yeah, very good. You did research.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's awesome, because I've been in the pharmaceutical industry as a hospital, critical care hospital rep since 1997. So I've interacted a lot with pharmacists and nurses in the hospital and in the hospital setting as well as community. And I understand that your mother was a nurse and that your father was a pharmacist. Is that right?
Yes. My mom actually, she's a nursing instructor. And,
oh, great.
She has two master's degrees, and she taught psych and peds, and so she, yeah, they both recently retired, but I did work in my dad's pharmacy for throughout high school, and I remember the drug reps. They always have the best pens, and my dad and I actually have this great collection of, like, drug pens, which is I've never talked about before, but we have a great collection of drug pens that are just, you know, we're pen freaks. And
I got to tell you something. That you just said something that's so funny because it reminds me of there was some kind of comedy show soap that was on a few years ago. Gosh, what was it called? And it was supposed to be like a hospital setting. What is the name of that show? I'm just trying to think. Anyway, and they were supposed to be in a hospital. It was kind of a comedy. And I had to laugh because they had Heather Locklear. She portrayed a pharmaceutical rep.
Oh, my God.
Now, listen to this.
I have no idea. That's crazy.
Yeah, and so she's sitting there in the hallway, and then she gets up, and the first words out of her mouth basically to the MDs are, can I interest you in a pen? So, you know, I mean, that's our claim. I guess that's our claim to fame. But now pharmaceutical reps, we can't give out any of that kind of stuff anymore. That's kind of passe. That's from years gone by. That's no longer, you can't do that anymore because that's market.
Man,
yeah.
That's
but
so
I know we
sad.
did have the best pens, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And they
Absolutely.
Varied according Absolutely. To which drug company they came from.
Yes, indeed, they do.
Like some were cooler than others.
I know.
Some
even
glowed in the dark. It was
very
exciting.
They did. I could tell you many stories about pens, but we'll save it for another time. Now, now, in reading about your background and studying about this, I understand that you're a graduate and valedictorian of the University of Iowa,
mm-hmm.
where you're studying liberal arts. Is that right?
Yeah, I majored in political science, international relations, and in theater.
Wow, that's awesome. So what would lead you from the Midwest to the West Coast, in fact, to L.A.? Was it just in that pursuit of the acting dream and what you knew as your passion?
Well, I was trying to strategically sort of, you know, decipher which career path, which is the best way to just, you know, cut to the chase and jump in, you know, cannonball into the industry, you know, into the industry pool. And a lot of my friends who were grad students that I knew and undergrads were going to Chicago. They were going to Minneapolis. They were playing it safe. You know, they were wanting to dip their toes in, see how they felt about the acting industry and in these smaller communities. And Chicago has brilliant theater. Minneapolis has brilliant theater. I would love to work there. But for me, my assessment was, well, if all the actors in the majority of productions in New York on Broadway were being played by people with movie credits, then the correct choice would be for me to just head straight out to L.A. and try to get film credits so that I could be on Broadway.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, I haven't quite yet gone to Broadway, but I've done some great, great theater work out here and some great indie films and just great films overall. And so I'm pleased with the choice to just kind of jump straight in.
Yeah, yes, that's awesome. Yeah, I was wondering about that because I usually like to know many times why people land where they land, you know. And so a lot of people that are involved in theater or in music or in acting either land here on the West Coast or they land in, you know, New York on
mm-hmm.
the East Coast. And there have been a few people that have landed some other places, and I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Now, why is that? So, you know, it's kind of interesting for me to find out why people end up where they're at. And so thank you for sharing that. Oh, and by the way, just so you and I know, because, I should have known, but I've forgotten the name of that show, what I was talking about that with Heather Locklear and her pens as a pharmaceutical rep, Jammin just reminded me that show was called Scrubs.
Yes, and I knew it was called Scrubs. But I didn't have it on the tip of my tongue.
I know, either did I.
I know, it's Scrubs. Wow, yeah. I didn't know Heather Locklear was on that.
Yeah, it was funny. It was a funny episode. It made me laugh. So when you talked about pens again, it made me chuckle. So let's go back. I understand that you had some appearances or irregular appearances as an extra on Days of Our Lives. Is that correct?
Well, that was a starter beginner thing back
right.
in 99-2000. And
right.
yes, it is correct. When you look into all the extra work that you can possibly play, film was then, I think, $75 a day and was, you know, you were there for the full 12 to however many hours. And Days of Our Lives was rad. I mean, it was rad extra work because you got $125 to $150.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you went to the same location every day. They were so nice.
Right.
You got put into this, like, nice holding tank of,
right.
you know, that wasn't picnic tables just full of 200 extras. And so I really loved doing the extra work on Days of Our Lives. It was nice peeps. It was good energy.
Yeah.
And while I was waiting tables at the same time and doing what I could do to, you know, get my toe in the door, that was a great job. It was a
Absolutely.
Great job.
Absolutely. I think everybody should have the opportunity, if you're in acting, to do that. I mean, I've done that. I did that with Nash Bridges when it was filmed out here in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Did it with Penelope Cruz's movie, Women on Top. And it's not a porn movie. Every time I say that name, Women on Top, people go, oh, was that like, no.
She was a chef.
Yeah, you remember that movie, right?
She was a chef.
Yeah, she was a chef. So
it's supposed
I
to
did,
be like sexy woman cooks.
Yeah, she was
and
from
it's
Brazil.
Still, and it's still women's lib.
Yeah. well, it was, and so having the opportunity to do that, and I'm sure you would agree, you always meet, not only do you meet a lot of the principles, you have a chance to hobnob with a lot of people that are wanting to do the same thing. They want to be in acting. They want, you know, they want to get their feet wet. They want to get in there, and you meet some just really wonderful, great people. Would you not agree?
I completely agree. And all the actors who were in that were really great and gracious. Like, I mean, I'm talking about other girls who were struggling and trying to get their foot up, and, you know, they
right.
gave me great advice. They were really cool. And the actors on that, I mean, they were just, everybody was really chill.
Right, right. And I think everybody should have an opportunity to do that. So now, having said that, so like many aspiring actors and actresses out there, and after many hard knocks and turndowns and endless auditions, when was a turning point in your career? When was a turning point for Tana Frederick?
I think it was when, I mean, I know it was when I took, Henry Jaglom is a wonderful independent film director, producer, and I took a play of his that he had workshopped at the Actors Studio called A Safe Place. And he had also made that into his first film with Tuesday Weld and Jack Nicholson and Phil Proctor. But it had never been premiered as a play. And so Henry had I met Henry and he gave it to me and he said, you know, do this as a scene from an acting class or for your acting class. And I thought, well, hell, this is like this is his like as far as plays are concerned. And
right.
and it was a lovely linear rendition of A Safe Place. I mean, you can still get A Safe Place from Criterion Collection, the movie. But I thought this would be a great stage play, perfect casting for me. And so I got it produced out here in Los Angeles. I shopped it around to 14 different theaters and finally found a theater that wanted to produce it and starred myself in it and ran for 8 months. And it was a ballsy move on my behalf. I'm really proud that I did it. But he ended up coming to every weekend and said, okay, you're in. Let's develop the next movie together. And so that's where Hollywood Dreams came out of. And you know, there's a truth to the saying, you've paid your dues, because
right.
I really at that point I had done a lot of shows of this and of A Safe Place, and and really hustled around town and really, you know, worked hard. I have a great Iowa work ethic. And so by that time, when he threw me into the scenes with Justin Kirk from Weeds and several other films, Angels in America, and he threw me in with Justin, and he threw me in with Karen Black and David Provall and Zach Norman and all these great, great people who I heralded, you know, their work.
Right.
I was ready. I was ready. I was like, okay, yeah, you're, that's, I'm, I would, I didn't feel self-conscious. I just felt like, here's what all this work has paid off and come to. So go on, you know, go on me. Good for me. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so, and then I understand that your role as Margie Cheezik,
right.
I'm thinking of, okay, Cheezik and Hollywood Dreams landed you a few awards, right?
Yeah.
So
it
tell
was,
me about that.
It was great. I mean, coming out of the gate with Hollywood Dreams was both a curse and a blessing, because it was my first film. It was when reality TV was starting to take off. I'm very good at character work, but at the same time, nobody had seen me in anything, and so the character is a very neurotic, fame-hungry actress who, yes, she shares the same plot line as my life. She comes out from Iowa, but she's much. It's a bigger version of. It's kind of an amalgam of all the actresses and actors that I've met in Los Angeles, and was a great way to sort of therapeutically release some of the crazy experiences that I've had in Hollywood with managers, meetings, you know, terrible meetings with managers and the sleazier side of Hollywood. So I loved the role, but it was kind of, now that people have seen more of my work and seen more of my range, they get that was me building a character and
right.
not Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, you know? But
it was
difficult, like going to film festivals and winning Best Actress and people saying, oh, well, are you playing yourself? How much of this is yourself? And I would walk out of a screening and men would jump like 5 feet back and say, I dated a girl like you once and she was crazy. And it was like experience after experience of people thinking that I am this character when I'm trying to convey to them, no,
exactly.
There is still such a thing as character work. There's still such a thing as building a character.
Absolutely.
You know, it's there is still fiction in art.
Yeah, of
so
course.
So it was, but yeah, I really warranted a lot or gained a lot of awards and respect for that film, and it was cool. It was I'm really lucky.
Yeah.
I think my favorite quote, because I'm a 40s-a-file, is the New York Times quote, which said she's a young Betty Davis on crack. And
oh wow!
That's for Hollywood Dreams, and so being Betty Davis on crack, that's pretty much the highest form of compliment that you could possibly give me in this day and age, because Betty Davis is my icon, along with
right.
Garbo, and along with so many women, Barbara Stanwyck and Lucille Ball, and you know, so to give, I've been lucky enough to get a lot of reviews that have harkened back to actresses of that day and age, and I feel really lucky, because I do think that was a golden age of Hollywood, and I do think that that was when women were carving out this this beautiful, unique it was the beginning of film, so it's women carving out unique characters on film, and if you think about it, a lot of film is just it's a repeat or it's a steal of something else. And if you look at all those, if you really study all the movies of the 40s and the late 30s, every movie now is just it's kind of a steal from one of those films. And so I feel honored to be you know, complimented that way.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because now when you think about it, really, I mean, you know, both you and I have done, you know, and obviously you more than I have done a lot of acting work. That being said, you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of movies out there today, and we could get into this. We probably could spend a lot of time talking about this, but there's a lot of people that claim to be actors and actresses that really, quite honestly, are not good. And so when you're able to be compared to somebody that was an icon, like Bette Davis, mm-hmm. that in itself is awesome. And that really truly marks somebody that does have a gift that way. A couple of weeks ago, I was watching a television show. I'm not going to name any names, but I'm just going to say there was an actor, and he was talking to this magician or an illusionist, and he was basically saying, you know, I don't get you. I don't get what you're doing. I just, you know, it kind of weirds me out. And I was thinking to myself, dude, if you are an actor and you know anything about acting, you understand that you are there to create something that in itself is an illusion.
Absolutely.
Quite honestly.
Yeah.
And so if you don't understand what this person is doing, and just because they're an illusionist, you think that they're creepy, I mean...
Oh, honey, we need to send you back to classes for a little bit.
I mean, I'm thinking to myself, wow, you really must be not a good actor, because what you just said doesn't even make sense. So really, honestly, somebody that is great in their craft can have people surrounding them, like what has happened to you, where people start thinking that you are that person because
that
you have just engulfed yourself so much into that role. They believe it. You have created
an illusion.
Yes,
absolutely. And it's honestly like it's taken me a solid 7 years to really spread my work out and not spread it out, but definitely choose my work specifically and decide what roles are going to contrast, you know, the roles that I've played before. And it's not that I choose roles because they contrast with another character that I've played. It's just that that's the reason that I am an actor, and that's the reason probably that you're an actor, is to explore the underbelly of all these different human beings, you know.
Absolutely.
And these characters that don't exist, and it's our lot in life to give voice and to give skin to these characters, and the most fascinating thing for me being an actor is studying humans, and I'm probably more in touch with like a stranger on the corner asking for money than I am with my own self. And so,
right.
You know, I enjoy that. I enjoy the empath. I enjoy the empath in myself. I enjoy,
mm-hmm.
you know, the character study. I enjoy the emotionality of figuring people out. And that's why I do what I do. I want to understand what goes on in other people's brains and in their hearts and in their, you know, and so, yeah, it's very funny how, I don't know how people like that. That's just a very telling story of the state of network television right now.
Oh yeah, but I would say so. What you had said that some, you know, you had talked about what how they had reviewed your work, and then, you know, after people had seen you live, how they came up to you and they so believed that you were, and that's really the mark of a great actor.
I really appreciate
no,
that.
No, I mean,
thank
I
you.
Think that that's the, you know, and this is about you, but I just want to share something really quick. I've been writing a short film for a couple of years, and it's going to have to be, it's going to be around a Sephardic Jewish family. So I have engulfed myself, and I'm going to play one of the characters, but I've engulfed myself so much into that culture and what they've gone through, and you know what, when I do that work, the highest compliment that anybody could pay to me is coming up to me believing that I am part of that culture, or
that
I am
the
that
best absolutely that's the best compliment,
right?
I mean that's incredible. And and the personal gratification that you get out of that is not only that people you remain unrecognizable as far as your own personhood, but you get to do fascinating, wonderful research.
Oh, absolutely.
On that whole culture. And
absolutely.
And that's something once you, as an actor, give your heart and your soul into, it's something that, I don't know, I just believe if more people were artists in the world, and of course this is such a lofty proposition, but if more people were artists, I don't think we'd have as much violence as we do, because you're constantly, as an artist, putting yourself into other people's skin and other people's thoughts, and
right,
you know, it's so admirable. What you're doing is admirable.
Well, thank you.
Lovely and very gallant.
Well, I will tell you this. You used a word that really stood out, and you said the word empath, right? And I think that word in itself is it has to be part of the heart of an artist. It has to be part of the heart of an actor or an actress. Because
yeah.
you have to feel that role. If you don't feel the role, people are going to feel it, and they're going to say, this is just horse pooey. This person doesn't
right.
know how to act. They're no good. They're just reading lines. They're just boring. They didn't, you know, and people are going to walk out of that film and say, it meant nothing to me. When you are an empath and you can feel things
mm-hmm.
from other people, you can understand a role, that is going to translate itself out, and people are going to honor that, and people have honored that with you. So kudos to you. That's awesome.
Oh,
and
thank you so much.
I understand that in 2009, the play just 45 minutes from Broadway, so it opened up in Santa Monica with you as
mm-hmm.
a lead role.
Mm-hmm.
So who did you play, and really, what was this play really, really about? So,
well, I think it's a play that you would love personally, being an actor.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
I would love to send you and make sure you have a copy of it and
yes,
give you a
please.
Couple extra copies to send out to
please,
anybody
please,
listening
please.
to your show.
Can we do that? Can we do that? Folks, listen up. Listen
absolutely,
up.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I will
all
send
right.
over 20 DVDs of just 45 minutes from Broadway. And to those of you who are artists, you'll really appreciate it. But even if you're not an artist, you will love this movie. It's just, or maybe that's putting too much pressure on, but it is delightful. And if you're a Judd Nelson fan, it's Judd Nelson in a leading man role that he hasn't really taken on since for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But what the play was about is
yes.
a Yiddish theater family who goes back generations.
Oh, cool.
And so this whole family is a family of artists, of actors. And
so it's a Jewish family.
It's a Jewish family.
Oh, cool.
And the combination of films that it harkens back to is You Can't Take It With You, which is one of my all-time favorite films.
Mm-hmm.
You Can't Take It With You in the Royal Family.
Mm-hmm.
But this family is not as successful as, say, the Barrymores, or, you know, they've gone on the road, they've conquered vaudeville, but they are still, you know, their house is decrepit, the parents are hard up for money to, you know, to keep the house. And what happens is I'm the sister in the family, so it's a big family of thespians, and I'm the sister in the family who is a thespian, and just recently broken up with my boyfriend who is a civilian. And by civilian, which is a very funny term coined by Henry Jaglom, by civilian I mean he was in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And all those people who aren't into theater, acting, or the arts. And then my sister, played by Julie Davis, brilliantly played an unforgiving role, ends up coming back to the family, to the house that we were born and raised in. And she brings her fiancé, Judd Nelson, and she is a civilian, and her fiancé is also a civilian. So she hates her family, essentially, which is a really cool twist on a lot of films where the artist comes back home and he's kind of the odd man out, or she's kind of the odd man out. But in this scenario, everybody is artists, so it's kind of Alice in Wonderland. You know, everything's turned upside down, and the weirdo is Julie Davis's character, because she does has a normal 9-to-5 job.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she comes home to announce her engagement, all hell breaks loose. The dude played by Judd Nelson falls in love with my character because she's free and she's an artist and an empath.
And, okay, and your character's name again is?
Is Panda Isaacs, Pandora
okay.
Isaacs.
Okay.
So it's I would love to be able to, and it's still playing actually in Lemley theaters around the United States. But I would love to. I will send you a big chunk of our lovely DVDs, and you can give them out to fans of yours, as long as you watch it yourself.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to watch it. And you know what, folks? Again, if you're interested in getting a copy of this, you contact us. You can contact us at the show or live from the bay at hotmail.com. And just let us know that you want this DVD from Tana Fredericks. And again, thank you so much for offering this to our listeners. Again, it's just 45 minutes
from Broadway.
And so that same play became a film version. So we're just, you know, I mean, that's just exciting. So, and you know, Janet, my other question for you is, I know that beyond film, you're really passionate about some other things. And I'd like to know what those other things are.
Ah, you sweetheart. I'm actually quite passionate about a lot of things. Most close to my heart, having moved from a landlocked state to a coastal state, is Project Save Our Surf, which I founded 8 years ago with world champion surfer Sean Thompson. And we're pretty much all about, globally, we're about installing clean water filters or clean water systems for villages, which is so inexpensive. People don't realize, you know, that like $100 we'll get a water filter for a village of 1,000 people for a year, and building wells. And in a local vein, we have gone up and down the coast in conjunction with the Boys and Girls Club to run these surf camps for fourth and fifth graders who, you know, there's so many budget cuts right now. And,
right.
And so these kids don't have usually a field trip. They do
right.
not, you know, remember like when you were in fifth grade and
oh, yeah.
the coolest thing ever was like, okay, it's a field trip.
Yeah,
we're gonna
field
go,
trip
you know?
Day, right.
Yeah,
right.
So schools can't afford this right now. And so what we do is we step in and we bring them out to some wonderful conserved, pristine California ecosystem, and we let them camp there for a week. And the majority of our donations right now go to kids. And we've been running, like I said, camps, empowerment camps, youth empowerment camps up from you where you are all the way down to Sayulita, Mexico, and just getting kids out in the water. And then we'll have some sort of a health and nutrition lesson with somebody, and we'll have a resident artist there who will teach them how to find trash on the beach and upcycle that into like a cool necklace or a wallet or something like that.
Wow.
And then essentially get them out in the water and teach them what it's like to stand up on a wave. And if you're a surfer, or even if you're not a surfer, the fact that somebody takes you one-on-one into the ocean and gets you up to stand and interact with one of our most precious resources, which is water, is just incredible. You know, it's just a life-changing experience for these kids. So we're really proud to be doing that.
Wow, that is awesome. And you actually were one of the founders, and you started this.
Yes, I did start it. And there was a lot of trash in the Santa Monica Bay, and saw a lot of junk in there, and one day just saw a condom floating past, and there was a big kid.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
One, yeah.
Oh, man.
And my
Jeez.
Friend and I were surfing, and there was a kids camp up on, it was summer, and there was a kids surf camp up on the beach. And it was like, okay, let's do something. I know there's lots of groups that do stuff, but let's just do something.
Absolutely.
So that was kind of the inception of our group, and I was lucky enough to call up Sean Thompson, who's a 1977 world champion surfer, and PT Townend, and get them to join with us. So it's been a really cool. It's been frustrating, but it's been amazing.
Well, you know what, Jenna? So here's what we're going to do. I think Jamin in the chat room has put up your website for this. So we've got two websites, one for Tana's direct website, and then give us this website so the listeners that want to get involved and be a part or help support you, that they can get right in there and know how to contact you. So you want to give us both of those sites again?
Absolutely. So, besides being an avid Facebook and Twitter fiend, I can't help it.
That's all right.
I miss all my peeps in Iowa, and I'm on there all the time.
That's okay.
But Tana Frederick, TannaFrederick .com, and then Project Save Our Surf .org. And so those are the two main websites that you can check out. But like I said, I'm one of those hands-on actors, so I love, you know, hearing from other actors saying, hey, I just moved out here. What do I do? I'm in this situation.
Oh, that's
awesome. I feel like, yeah, it's important, you know, to be the big sister of a lot of, I wish I would have had some more authoritative and knowing figures when I moved out here. So anybody, you know, if you move out to Los Angeles, you're a struggling actor, just shoot me a Facebook question or, you know, conundrum or anything. And I love to help other people out and get you on track and, you know, not allow you to reinvent the wheel because we've all been out here and we've all found our way and
right.
All of us should help each other.
Right. Well, you know, that's awesome because, you know, what's really nice for me is knowing that here we're talking to an actress that's in Southern California that's actually working her craft because, as you know, and I mean, there's a lot of people that are struggling and trying to get in, and when every time I've gone to Southern California, I can't tell you the countless amount of people that I've met, but I'll say, hey, so what do you do for a living? And they're like, oh, I'm an actor. I'm an actress.
Right.
And it's like, oh, that's great. What are you working on? Well, I'm not. You know, you know what I'm saying? And, you know,
totally.
And there is, people have to get from point A to point B, and there's work, and there's people that struggle, and you have to work regular jobs, and we all understand that. We all do that. But it's really nice and refreshing to talk to somebody that's actually working that craft now. And not only that, is out there to help people out. And is, you know, folks, really, that's what it's about. You know, the more we give, that's just the law of nature. You know, the more you give out, the more you give of yourself, the more of your time and who you are and all that, the more it comes back to you. It really is.
Absolutely.
So,
it's true.
Know,
and there's no, you know, the laws of scarcity are not true. And you can't operate from a place of scarcity because there's so much work out here, whether you create it for yourself or whether you receive it or whether you bestow it on other people, there's just a lot of work. And it's a joyful, wonderful, you know, that's a joyful, wonderful place to come from as far as an outlook on the business because there is so much crappy sort of misnomers about being an actor out here. And it's really a cool environment, you know. It really is. So
I
encourage
people. A lot of opportunity, right?
A lot. There's tons. There's tons. It's all on is your glass half full or are you going to look at it as half empty?
Mm-hmm.
And it really is an attitude adjustment. And anybody who comes out here will and can eventually work in the industry.
And you know what, Tana? I will say this. And I really truly believe this. This is from my heart to you. You know, as you've gone out there, and as you have done your roles, and as you've been recognized and highly recognized by people, not just in awards, but how people view your work. The nice thing is that you are one of these people that say, you know what, I'm not going to let it just stop there. It's not all about me. It's about reaching out and helping other people. And that's what I'm saying. When you are able to plant seed in other people's lives and just, you know, give, it'll come back to you multiplied time and time and time again. So I know
that's
that you're
so
going to continue
Thank
with
you.
A blessed Bless life. Now, let me ask you, there's a couple of things I want to find out before we end this here, but What are you working on right now? Because in case some listeners want to know, what's going on with Dana Frederick right now? Are there new things coming your way? Are there new movies? What's going on?
I'm currently in the production of The Rainmaker, which
by
Ann Richard Nash, and it's a classic. It's been done everywhere,
right.
Upside down, inside out.
Right,
but
right.
I'm lucky enough to be with such an amazing cast, and have had an amazing director. It's at the Edgemar Center for the Arts, so you can go on edgemarcenter.org, and if you're an actor and you're in Southern California, you will get free theater tickets for this show. We've been running for 4 months and just got extended. We've been extended 5 times, I think.
Awesome.
And we have had, we're Ovation recommended, which is a big deal for LA. And it's my first time getting a Los Angeles Times critics pick with a show. So,
that's great.
And it's a really uplifting, thank you. And it's a really uplifting, hopeful, wonderful show. So, if you're out in the area and you want to come see some theater and you're an artist, come on and see some free theater and just see a really good, solid show. I'm very proud of it. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm that's what I'm running in right now. And then I have 2 films coming out this fall. One is The M Word with Frances Fisher, Michael Imperioli, and Corey Feldman. And
mm-hmm.
It's about menopause and menstruation, which
okay.
I think will just be a joy because it's one of those films that sparks dialogue about an issue that people are so careful to tiptoe around, especially
right.
women, which is menopause. And it's hilarious. It's funny,
okay.
funny. And it's a great comedy. And it's
okay.
also just a great, like, again, therapeutic film for women to see. And then the other film that I have coming out is something that I produced and we shot in Iowa called Garner, Iowa. And it's with Tom Bauer and Joel West and directed by Ron Vignoni. And it's a beautiful story about a girl who comes out of jail and brings her grandfather back to his own to his farm to die on his own land. So,
wow.
Yeah, so it's really one of those heart wrenchers,
oh my gosh.
5 Kleenex box. So that's what's coming out.
Now, tell me the name of that film again.
That's called Garner, Iowa. It's Garner, Iowa. And it's actually my parents' hometown.
How awesome is that? So, Dana, in case some of our listeners want to get in touch with you, give us your website again.
It's TanaFrederick.com.
TanaFrederick.com. Awesome. Thank you so much. You know, on behalf of all of us here at Live from the Bay with Joey, thank you so much for being with us, for shining some light. We look forward to those DVDs that we can give out. And, again, any closing statements you'd like to make to our listeners here tonight?
I want to thank you for having such an incredible show, and I want to thank you for your sort of view on life and on art and just being a sweetheart and being an inspiring person on, you know, who's out there and encouraging other people because the world can never have enough of those. And you're a great guy. So I really
thank you. And you
it.
Are an awesome, awesome lady. And, you know, anytime you would like to come back, our doors are always open for you. Please keep us abreast of anything new.
Thank you, darling.
You know, anytime. So, and this show will replay again a few times, and then it's going to go into on demand. So it'll be there 24/7, 365. People will be able to listen to it. So that's really exciting. So, again,
that's great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Dana. So thank you so much. And thank Lori for setting this up. And again, on behalf of us here, we thank you so much, and we'll look forward to hearing more about you. And folks, remember, if you want one of those copies,
the 45 minutes DVD,
yes, get in touch with me. And again, get in touch with me here at the show or livewithjoey@hotmail.com. We'll make sure that we get those out to you. Also, you know, I think I'm going to put it on Twitter as well, and we're going to make sure that these get out to people just as soon as we can. All right?
Thanks. That's awesome.
Okay. Thanks, Dana. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. And I would be excited and ecstatic to come back on the show.
Absolutely.
One of the best I've been on.
You.
So thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, dear. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jammin', are you there? Are you there?
Yes, I am.
What a refreshing, just great actress. Phenomenal. I mean, she just leaves you really in. Wasn't it incredible? Just an inspiring young woman with so many accolades and so much recognition. And people, I mean, to have people not only recognize you as a great actor, but have those wonderful accolades to her, you know, to her credit, and then be such a humble, gracious person is just unbelievable. I mean, this by far is one of the shows that just, you know, it kind of makes you stand back and just go, wow, right?
It does. It does. I have so many thoughts just from listening to the interview. It was very encouraging. Really good.
Yeah, just a dynamite soul, wonderful soul, and just a good person. You know, originally I was going to go on my rant some more and just share some more stories that are coming out, but you know, I don't think I want to go there. I just think I want to end it with just encouraging people to really, if you want a copy of that DVD, definitely contact us. Get on your computers. Go to her website, TanaFrederick.com. We do have that information, I believe, Jam, and I think I've got it out on the show page. If not, we'll make sure we get it. And then, again, her charity work, again, the organization that she started again. Do you have that website again for our listeners, just in case?
Yes, it's SaveOurSurf.org.
Okay, SaveOurSurf,
SaveOurSurf.org.
Okay. Perfect,
yes.
Perfect.
Yes, and so I'll again, also put a few other links up there as well.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was really a really great refreshing show, and just again, a working artist, actress who is not just so much concerned about her place in this world as well. She's looking out to others, you know, to help others, you know, with regards to clean water. Not only that, she's reaching out and telling actors and actresses, hey, if you're having a tough time or you need somebody to run something by, as a mentor, I'm here for you. And I just, you know, I can't say enough about somebody like that. So
the mentor part, that really strikes home with me. Where are the mentors?
Absolutely. So here's a living example of that. So that's awesome. And, you know, on that, I think we're going to end. But before we do that, I know tomorrow evening, we don't usually do shows back-to-back, but again, we wanted to get Tana in here, and tomorrow wasn't going to work, but we already had this other show planned, and so we're glad we had her tonight. That'll replay next week as well. You might want to check over the weekend, and maybe there as well. And then tomorrow evening, we're going to have a really exciting guitarist, artist, songwriter, Rich Ayala. So he's going to be with us tomorrow evening, right, Jamin?
Yes, he is. I believe it's 8 o'clock Pacific time.
Yep. And the interesting thing here is that you helped really with this recording. You engineered, helped produce this recording that we're going to hear bits and pieces of his music, right?
Yeah, that was a very fun project. We had a real good time doing it. I engineered the project with Rich Ayala himself.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome, awesome. So anyway, folks, we thank you for joining our show tonight, our special show tonight with Tana Frederick. And then we look forward to connecting up with you tomorrow night with Rich. And then the following week, next week, we got some exciting, an exciting guest or two lined up for you as well. So be sure to look at the show page. You might be surprised who's getting ready to join us. And until then, this is Joey. And on behalf of Live from the Bay with Joey, along with Jammin', we thank you for joining us, and we'll look forward to seeing you or talking to you or hanging with you, whatever, the next time. All right? Take care now.
Thank you for joining us today on Live from the Bay with Joey.